people who had questions about the church, which was fine. But sometimes people just attacking the church. And more and more I felt like I was kind of on the defensive a lot and always kind of apologizing in a defensive sort of way. Well, this is what the church teaches, you know, the more I learned about it. No, it's not that. It's this, you know, and trying to dispel misunderstandings or, you know, innocent or otherwise. And throughout all of that, sometimes feeling alone. Like, am I the only one? You ever feel that way? Am I the only one who cares? In the Old Testament, there's a powerful passage in the book of Kings where the prophet Elijah, he is fed up. He's just tired. He feels persecuted, and he runs away. And, of course, God finds him. And he doesn't say to Elijah, oh, you know, poor guy, hang in there, you know, I'm still with you. He just says, Elijah, why are you here? Why are you here? You're supposed to be out there. Why are you here? And Elijah says, I'm the only one that's left, you know, they're trying to persecute me, they've killed all your other prophets, everybody who's for you, I alone am left, and they're seeking my life now too. And the first thing God says to him is, I want you to go and anoint this person king of Israel and this person king of Judah, and I want you to anoint this person to be a prophet to succeed you. But then he says, and by the way, there are 7,000 of my people who have not bent the knee to Baal. You are not alone. It's a beautiful, it's a horrible, powerful ploy of the devil to make us feel alone. I'm the only one who thinks this way, believes this way, who feels this way. Whether that's for the church or for anything, really. His ploy is always to isolate us. What we celebrate today is the opposite of that. What God has done, what Jesus has done, what the church does is to say we belong to a communion of saints that stretches throughout the world, Catholic, universal, stretches throughout every continent. And every people and language and tongue and tribe and nation. And guess what? Beyond this world. Into the heavens. Into the heaven of heavens. This communion of saints. That's what we belong to. We are not alone. Ever. And today is such a beautiful day. It's one of my favorite teachings about the church, what we call the communion of saints. You know, this bond that unites all the baptized that we received at our baptism. We got bonded to God, to Christ, and to every other baptized person. And that's a bond that's stronger than death. I love that. Because we're never alone. We have this incredible array of people and saints and martyrs and virgins and confessors, etc., etc., who are cheering for us and praying for us and interceding for us, and whom we need to pray to, and sometimes for those who have gone before us to pray for them. In the gospel today, and then that first reading from the book of Revelation, that's exactly what John is saying. John himself, the seer there, felt isolated. He was exiled to the island of Patmos for standing up to the word and preaching the word. You know, from John's perspective, he could feel very isolated. You know, this tiny little Christian community in this huge Roman Empire that's trying to extinguish them, out to persecute and destroy them. And even a lot of them, their brethren, the Jews, were kicking them out of synagogues and persecuting them. And then John himself gets exiled to this little island. You could see just how alone and isolated he could feel. Do you hear us, Lord? Do you see us? And he has this vision. 144,000, right? They're sealed with the seal of God. That means they're protected. That's God saying, my people will not be overcome by the devil. I put my seal on you. And then he has, over and above that, that beautiful protection from the Lord. He has this vision of a multitude that cannot be numbered. They're so vast. From every language, tribe, nation, people, all singing this incredible hymn to the Lord. Holy, holy, holy. This hymn of praise. They sing a hymn of praise because they trust in the Lord's power to overcome. John, you're not alone. And Jesus in the gospel today, he gives these beatitudes, right? In the Old Testament, God had given the Ten Commandments, which are still beautiful and powerful and effective today. We still need to follow the Ten Commandments. Right? But those Ten Commandments were phrased a little bit negatively, right? Thou shalt not do this, you know, don't do that, don't do that. And what Jesus does is he phrases 10, if you count it carefully here, 10 Beatitudes positively. How blessed, you could also translate that Greek word makarios, not just blessed but happy. Lucky, how lucky are the poor in spirit. How fortunate are the poor in spirit. How happy, how blessed, how lucky, how fortunate. And there's no connecting verb there, so literally it's just how lucky the poor in spirit. How lucky those who mourn. How lucky those who are meek. How lucky those who hunger and thirst. How lucky the clean of heart, the peacemakers. How lucky those who are persecuted for the sake of God. Okay, they're phrased positively, but can you try again, Jesus? But that first beatitude, let's just look at that one briefly. How blessed, how lucky, how fortunate the poor in spirit. Spirit, breath, right? The people who are even poor in breath, who have trouble catching their breath, who depend on the breath of God to keep us going, to keep us connected, to keep us alive. Every breath that I take comes from the Lord. My life breath is life from God. How lucky are those who realize on their own, I'm poor in that life breath. I need the life breath of God to be breathing in me. How lucky are those who realize that and realize that every breath they take in is the breath of God. It's the life of God within me, not mine, but the life of God. And just one other, how lucky are the meek? Doesn't mean they're a bunch of, it's good to be a milk toast. No, it doesn't mean that at all. Jesus says elsewhere in the gospel, take my yoke upon you. Take my burden upon you. Learn from me, for I am meek and humble. My burden, my yoke is the cross, Jesus says. You're not milquetoast if you're carrying the cross. What meek means has nothing to do with weakness. It has to do with strength to carry the cross. Because I carry the cross, I don't feel like I need to beat anyone else with that cross. I just stand strong in the strength of Christ, in the strength of Christ's cross. You will not change me. You will not make me bend. I'm not going to beat you up. I'm not going to make you feel bad. But my witness calls you to follow the cross as well. How lucky those who are that meek, that they stand so strong in the power of God, they don't have to make anyone else feel little to realize the strength of God within them. As we celebrate this beautiful feast of saints, all saints, of communion that we belong to, and that we receive that communion here sacramentally, powerfully, let's give thanks. Let's take in every breath in thanksgiving to God, whose strength alone unites us and overcomes the divisions that the devil is always trying to create within us. Rejoice today in that communion.